Good morning again, and welcome to worship at West End. We're so glad that you're here. I have a few announcements for us this morning. The spring gardening series is still going, and it's this Wednesday at 6 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. And this week's class will focus on enhancing our garden with mulching and watering practices. So please join us for that Wednesday. Tomorrow, everyone is invited to celebrate a Galentine's Day event with Sound Riot. It will be a concert benefiting Mending Hearts. It'll be tomorrow at 7:30. Tomorrow at 7:30 in McWhorter Hall. Also, we have our Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper tickets for sale in McWhorter Hall, so you want to get your tickets for our Pancake Supper and Jazz Mass. You don't need a ticket for the Jazz Mass, just to the pancakes, but they're combined. Charge Conference is February the 21st at 5 p.m. prior to the ministry table meeting. It'll be in room 310. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." How might we live into our saltiness and be beacons of light in the spaces and places we go every day?
Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. Our hearts in true devotion bow. Thy Spirit sent with grace divine, and let thy truth within us
Happy are those who walk in God's ways. Blessed are those who observe God's commandments. Faithful are those whose eyes are fixed on righteousness. Joyful are those whose hearts are filled with praise, Come, let us love the Lord our God.
We come to worship the one who leads us in the ways to life.
With every choice we make, we show how faithful we are to God's hopes for us. Yet, despite the mistakes we make, the missteps we take, God remains forgiving and gracious. Let us come to our God, speaking honestly about our lives. Loving God, you call us to walk in your ways, observe your commandments, and love you as you have loved us. You offer us a community of abundant blessing, with rich soil to promote dynamic growth. Yet we often turn away from you to satisfy our own wants and desires. We forsake the way of love and forgiveness, giving in to petty jealousies and quarreling, surrendering our lofty ideals to our baser inclinations. Forgive us, O God, when we flee from your embrace. Draw us into community with you and with one another. Shower us with the cleansing waters of humility, that we may reclaim our purpose and find nourishment and growth in labors of love to bring your kingdom into our midst. God is alive and at work nurturing our growth, nourishing our needs, and reconciling us to one another. God hears the confessions of our hearts and forgives generously, sharing love with all who follow in God's ways. It is through God's amazing grace that we are all forgiven. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
I'm so glad you guys came to visit with us this morning. One of my favorite things about worship at West End is when we have a baptism. Can anybody tell me what we use in baptism? Yeah, water, exactly. We use water. But something that's a little less obvious that we also use in baptism is there usually is a candle right here. And what happens if you notice, as one pastor comes over and meets the family here, everybody's watching the baby come up, right? Because that's, you know, they're the star of the show. But a pastor will take this fancy lighter thing. I'm sure it has a name, but I don't know what it is. And they take and light from this Christ candle the candle that is on the table. And it looks like this. It has a shell on it. And the water, right? Because that's what we know baptism. And it has a dove that represents the Holy Spirit. You see, the light at the candle represents Jesus. It's a metaphor for the light. The candle isn't actually Jesus, we know that. But the light represents Jesus in our worship. And on Sunday morning, the Easter Sunday morning, you'll see Michael, and he'll carry that big candle in as the first thing. And then we light the candle for baptism from that same candle, signifying that each person that's baptized has the light of Christ inside of them. And then we don't keep the candle. We give the candle to the moms and dads of the people that were baptized so that you can light the candle at home and remember your baptism and remember that you have the light of Christ inside of you. That's pretty special. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the light of Christ that is inside each one of us. Thank you that your Holy Spirit works within us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming down. About 6 years ago, I came to be on staff at West End as an intern, a pastoral intern. And I was so excited about being placed at West End United Methodist because the church is located across the street from a lot of college students. And I decided that the first thing I wanted to do was to start a program on a regular basis that reaches out to college students. West End has always been open to the students that come here. We have a lot of connections to Vanderbilt University. And so we started a college lunch. And then, this past summer, West End and the Tennessee Annual Conference appointed me to be an evangelist on Vanderbilt's campus. So now my role has changed here. I am part-time here at West End and part-time across the street. But wait, I think you're still thinking about that word I used. I use the E word, the evangelist word. We're in a Methodist church. We don't talk about that. I understand why some of you might have a negative connotation to the word evangelism. In some ways, it's been coercive, manipulative, and over the world, sometimes violent. I get why that word is sometimes not used. And yet this morning, I think our scripture passage has something to teach us about what it means to be an evangelist. My favorite book I've read on the subject is by a woman named Elaine Heath. She is a United Methodist theologian, pastor, and professor. She defines evangelism as anything having to do with the initiation into the reign of God as seen through Jesus Christ. I'd like to simplify that a little bit and say that it's an invitation into the participation of the kingdom of God. But how do we do that? How do we make our light shine? How do we be that saltiness in the earth? As I mentioned before, I started a college lunch, and I was thinking about what we should do during that time, how we should guide our time, besides eat. We're going to eat, obviously, it's lunch. But at the moment, I was doing a daily practice called the Prayer of the Examine by St. Ignatius. St. Ignatius developed the practice for his monks to examine their day. It's really simple. He said, think about the time in your week where you experienced the most joy. And think in your day where you experienced the most joy. And think about a time when you experienced the least amount of joy. When were you connected with God? When were you disconnected with God? When did you experience peace? When did you not experience peace? It's really simple. And so with my college students, I decided I wanted to hear about the best parts of their week and the worst parts of their week, their happies and their crappies, their highs and lows, their pits and peaks, maybe their roses, thorns, and buds, which is what you're hopeful about. I think that sharing your story, sharing parts of yourself, the parts that you're excited about, and the parts that you might not post on Facebook, is the beginning of what it means to participate with the kingdom of God in the world. It's that initial step, building relationships with one another so that we might feel free to share our story and build trust with one another. Our scripture passage has the next couple steps that we can take to learn how to participate with the kingdom of God. As I mentioned with the kids, light and salt have individual things about them that are really great that might teach us something. But today I want to talk about what I think they have in common that might teach us. When we were talking about salt and light at the Tuesday morning Bible study with the men, one of them mentioned that they went on a trip to the Holy Land this past year with West End, and they were invited into a salt of the earth worship service. The salt of the earth worship service was salt in front, and you were invited to come up and take a pinch of salt and taste it to know what it would mean to be salty. At first, I was like, that's the greatest idea. We get to use our senses in worship. And then I thought, that actually sounds kind of disgusting. Like, nobody eats salt. It's so strong and poignant, and the flavor is so vibrant that you don't eat it by itself. It's noticeable. The same thing is true of the light. The city on the hill is noticeable from a far distance. It's conspicuous. When we are filled with the love of God, our actions and our lives become noticeable and conspicuous to all that are around us. In divinity school, I learned about the theology and hope and was inspired by a man named Howard Thurman. He not only inspired me, but inspired and mentored most of those people in the civil rights movement. In the early 1900s, he led a coalition of black leaders to Asia to meet with Mahatma Gandhi and learn about nonviolent resistant movement. His liberation theology has inspired the black church and so many. I heard a story about him when he was a young boy. His school that he attended in Daytona Beach, Florida, only went to the 7th grade. So after that, he was not able to continue his education. But he learned of a school in Jacksonville, Florida, and so his family pooled resources in order for him to travel on a train up to Jacksonville to continue his education. Well, he was ready to go and went to the train station and bought his ticket, and then he was told that he would also have to pay for his bag to travel. He didn't have the resources. He had used everything he had, and so as a 7th grader, sat in the train station, unsure of what to do, and crushed. And then he noticed a man that he described as a black man in overalls, walk over to the ticket counter, purchase a ticket for his bag, so that Howard Thurman was able to travel to Jacksonville. The man never introduced himself. We never know what his name is. And yet 65 years later, Howard Thurman wrote an autobiography and he dedicated it to the stranger in the railroad station in Daytona Beach, Florida, who made my broken dreams become a reality. You see, this man at the ticket counter was completely anonymous. And yet, his action was so noticeable and conspicuous in Howard Thurman's life that he later dedicated his entire autobiography to him. His strong, great act of generosity and love transformed a person's life. I think this is what it means to be conspicuous with the love of God, that our actions are great and strong for love. Something else that light and salt have in common is that they're not an end unto themselves. In non-philosophical terms, it means that when you turn on a light, you're not looking at the light. You're using it to look at what is already in the room, to make known what is already there. The same thing is true with salt. You don't just eat salt. You use it to flavor things. You use it to heal and preserve. Salt is used to better the things that are around it. One of my favorite podcasts I listen to it regularly is called On Being. And a few weeks ago, Krista Tippett interviewed a woman named Sister Simone Campbell. You might know her as the nun on the bus. She is an activist and a lobbyist and a lawyer and also a nun, and she travels around the United States creating awareness of poverty and social justice issues. At the end of the interview, a young woman in the crowd that was listening to their interview stood up and went to the microphone and asked, "How do I know if I'm doing enough?" And Sister Simone responded that it's our role to be listeners to the world around us and recognize needs. But even harder is the deep listening to yourself, to your calling, to what you're called to do in the world. She described our lives as a snow globe where the particles are swimming around us, and we have to sit and be still and let the particles fall so that we might have a clear picture of who we are and what we're called to do. And then she said, "Whatever you're called to do, you're already gifted for the work. You're already gifted for your calling." Because Jesus doesn't say to those who have gathered on the Sermon of the Mount, where he's preaching here, he doesn't say, "If you work harder, you might be the salt of the earth." Or, "If only you prayed more, you might be the light of the world." He doesn't say that. He calls it out and says, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You're already gifted. You're already called. Believe it and live into that." He's going to kill me for saying this, but this is one of the best things about working with Michael Williams. He constantly calls out those who are around him, the saltiness inside of them, the light. And then, even more than that, he lives out his own saltiness. It's magnanimous to watch him preach because he's his storyteller, wise self that just comes up here and does his own thing. And he's his own saltiness and light just shining here for all to see. This past week, I had coffee with a friend. And during our conversation, she mentioned that somebody, one of her friends, had come to her and said, "I'm kind of having a faith crisis, and I'd like to know more about Christianity." And my friend explained to me that she was a little bit nervous about the conversation because she wasn't really sure what to say and also was fearful that she might ask a theological question that she had no idea the answer to. And so I said, "I'd be happy to have a conversation where we can figure out the theology." But she asked you because she already sees your giftedness, your gentle listening and your caring spirit. And she wants to know from you about the kingdom of God and how you live that out. So I ask you this morning, what is your saltiness? What is your light? And how might you be an evangelist in the spaces and places that you go every day? Amen. A part of how we live out that faith and claim to participate in the kingdom of God is through our creeds. May we stand together and recite the United Church of Canada creed found on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stay standing. Another thing that we do together is greet one another and extend the peace of Christ to one another. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you.
Be seated. We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right, my left, following the worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex, which is in the rear of the sanctuary, after the service, and you can look for their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussion following the late worship service, and they will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from the staff person, please indicate your contact information so that we can follow up with you this week. On the other side of the card, you'll find a place for prayer requests, and we ask that you indicate whether the prayer requests can be shared or you'd like them to be kept confidential. You can put these cards in the offering plates as they're passed in a few moments. If you've not already done so, we invite you to share with us your attendance today. You'll find a blue pad at the end of each aisle. We invite you to share your presence here and pass it down the aisle so others can sign it, and then note with whom you're sitting and be sure to speak to those around you at the end of the service today. The Rose this morning celebrates the birth of Brian Thomason Freeman II, who was born February 2nd to Katie and Brian Freeman. The services for Vonnie Opal Luton, who died on January 28th, will be held this Friday, February 17th at 3 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Visitation will precede the service in McWhorter Hall beginning at 1 p.m. I want to share with you about the way forward. At the United Methodist General Conference 2016, human sexuality was a major issue, yet delegates on opposite sides couldn't even agree on a method of discussing the issue, much less the issue itself. Delegates ultimately voted to accept the recommendation of the Council of Bishops to delay further debate on the homosexuality and name a special commission that will examine and possibly recommend revisions to every paragraph in the Book of Discipline related to human sexuality. This 32-member commission on a way forward has begun its work, and each conference is taking 1 week to have intentional prayer for the mission of the United Methodist Church to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world and for the commission of the work of a way forward. This week, beginning today, is a prayer week that's been assigned to the Nashville Episcopal area, which is both the Memphis and Tennessee conferences, by the Council of Bishops. And so I invite you to take time this week to be in prayer for the United Methodist Church and the work of the Commission on the Way Forward. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through the testimony of those who know your love, you have guided us to ask for what we need. Our Lord Jesus Christ called his disciples to live as a city on a hill and a lamp on a stand, that we all may see the glory of God. We pray for the church, the community of disciples. Grant that we, who claim the name of Christ, may shine as light into our dark world. We pray for those who serve the church. Let our pastors, teachers, and those who minister in the name of Christ forsake worldly knowledge that perishes and be led by wisdom born of your Spirit. May we be led by your truth. Blessed are those who honor your commandments, O Lord. We pray for our world, for the governments, and for its leaders. May all who rule honor justice and compassion and serve the common good, that the people may flourish. You teach us to offer food to the hungry and to satisfy the needs of the afflicted. We pray for the sick, the hungry, the poor, the homeless, and those who are oppressed. Let your church minister to those in distress and bear witness to your abiding compassion for all who suffer. To you, O God, we pray, through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Hear our prayer, O God, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Like a spring whose water never fails, God calls us to share what we have received. Let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God.